For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
And welcome to WCW Retro. I'm the host for the evening, Papa Stro, the Meister of Wrestling. And this is the place to be, folks. We talk about past, present, future professional wrestling, but so much more. You never know who's going to call in and tap the phone. The Wild Wild West, the podcast, right here on WCW Retro on the VOCNation.com network. And I hope you guys are enjoying all our great VOCNation.com programming right here on VOC Nation. And thank you for your support as well, and support all the great podcasts we got here on VOC Nation. And tonight, it's going to be a special night. We have a special guest, Pitbull Joey CC, managed by Chaz Moretti. I'm looking forward to interviewing him and see what he's been up to. And, of course, we'll talk to the callers later on and talk wrestling right here on WCW Retro. And please support us on Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/VOCNation. Get your favorite VOC Nation t-shirt, including WCW Retro, one of yours truly, Four Faces of Stro. And much appreciated. But prowrestlingtees.com/VOCNation. Come support us. My official website, thestro.com. My merchandise for all ages, including pets. TheStro.com/merchandise. Get your favorite Papa Stro merch today and represent Team Stro worldwide as well. Shout outs to Masters of Ring Entertainment, MastersOfRingEntertainment.com. Fishing with Special Friends at FishingWithSpecialFriends.com. Innovative Hybrid Wrestling out of the Maritimes in Canada. Find out what they're up to under Facebook. Facebook.com/IHW Wrestling. College for Isla Club, which will be turning back with the reunion in September. And for more information on that, go to their website, CauliflowerAllyClub.org, for more info. And also, before we go to the commercial break and come back and have our interview with Pitbull Joey CC and Chaz Moretti, would like to, at this time, remember the late Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. He meant a lot to us in the wrestling business. a true legend in his own right. One we will never forget, for sure. I know he's helped me out tremendously in my career and many of us in the wrestling industry, and a true inspiration to us all. And we'll never forget you, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. So with that, let's give a 10-bell salute to the late Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. And we'll take a commercial break and come back with Pitbull, Joey CC, and Chaz Moretti.
Hey, this is the Total Package, Lex Luger, and you're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Check out In the Room.
Every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Cassie Fitz, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into like snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Ken Resnick.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airlines cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have cried?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Taylor, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Yo, this is Jerry Stein of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You getting ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Welcome back to WCW Retro. Papa Stro here. Great to have you guys with us here tonight. Special night tonight. We're going to be interviewing Pitbull Joey CC shortly, along with Chaz Moretti. Looking forward to that as well. Just a reminder, tomorrow night, my horror sci-fi show, The Stro Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my Facebook, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. The feature will be Daughter of Horror. So please tune in tomorrow night, midnight, to Stro Zone. And Love to have you. So let's get right to it. Without further ado, here they are, the guests for the evening, Pitbull Joey CC, along with Jazz Moretti. Welcome, gentlemen. How you doing?
Always a pleasure to be with you, Stro. How are you?
Great. Great to have you guys. A pleasure.
Wow, we're happy to be here. I don't know where it is up in Joey's neck of the woods, but down here I'm practically drowning with all this freaking rain we've been having over the last couple weeks.
Oh, wow, my goodness. Hey. How's it going, Joey?
It's going okay. Just
awesome.
Got a road trip, and thank God I'm not on the road anymore.
Attaboy.
Right.
Now, Stro, you got to realize that Joey is probably the best kept secret in pro wrestling. I mean, the guy has been around 20 plus years. He's actively serving in our military with the Illinois National Guard. He's just been named the Italian.
Thank you, Joey.
He's just been named the Italian. Oh, absolutely, guys. I'm sorry, but he's just been named the Italian American Heritage Heavyweight Wrestling Champion by the Federation of Italian American Social Clubs and the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame. That's a title that we as Italian Americans hold very, very dear to us, because it's the first time they've ever done that. And as a result, a week from tomorrow, I will be taking Joey down to Ripley, Tennessee, to challenge Greg Anthony for the Pro Wrestling Mid-South Unified title. And that's a title that we're definitely going to take home.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. You guys have been really busy. How did the interview with Pro Wrestling Interviews go Sunday night, by the way?
So it went fine. I'll let Joey tell you more about it. But, you know, the interview that we're looking most forward to is obviously WCW Retro.
Absolutely. Sunday, it was very nice. It was very nice to be on that show, but I was looking very forward to being on this one.
Let's start from the beginning, Joey. I mean, what fired you to being this outrageous business that we're in called pro wrestling?
Outrageous business is an understatement. You know what?
That's right.
I grew up watching, like so many people did. You know, I was the only one in my house that actually got into pro wrestling. Sadly, I took it when it was cable, you know. I flipped channel to channel. You could watch AWA, Mid-South, NWA, WCW, and, of course, the old days, WWF. All day long, I would monopolize. And, I grew up a fan. And being an amateur wrestler, played football. I came from a family that was very into entertainment. Directed and produced shows. And my dad, back in the day, toured at singing. His group was on Billboard chart. You name it, they sang with them back in the 50s. But we were also very into athletics. So, you know, in the back of my mind as a kid, always sat there and, oh, it's great. You know, I'm watching these guys on TV. I always like to do that. And it just never seemed possible. You know, I didn't know where to go for it, but then I went into, I originally enlisted active duty Air Force. And, you know, that was when I was in the Air Force, that was the time of the Monday Night War. So Monday night, we sit there, you know, and we flip back and forth between the channels, myself and my buddies. And Then we got Clark, we got CPD. That way we wouldn't have to flip back and forth. And during commercial break, we'd sit there and, you know, we'd have makeshift battle royal, just jacking around, just, you know, being goofballs. And my buddies were like, oh, you know what, you're pretty good at that. You should give it a try. I'm like, ah, I wouldn't know how to do it. Plus, I'm stuck in the Air Force. So, fast forward a little bit. When I got out of the Air Force, I went back to the health club that I was managing before I went in. I started managing it again. And one Saturday, I was just working. I was wearing a DX t-shirt. And this guy approached me, and he's like, oh, so, you know, you're a pretty big guy. I'm like, thanks. Didn't know what he wanted. He's like, get into wrestling? I'm like, what gave you that impression? You know, I'm wearing a t-shirt. Before coming.
Right.
And he actually was a worker himself. And he's like, I wrestle under the name Zebra Kid for WCPW, Windy City Pro Wrestling, and other places. And he's like, you know, if you're interested in getting into it, I mean, you're obviously, you know, in shape. You're obviously some type of an athlete. So I could get you a tryout. I'm like, that'd be great. You know, I didn't think much of it, but then he showed up the next day. He's like, look, I contacted the promoter. You have a tryout, you know, this date. And ironically, it was May 23rd of 2000. May 23rd, 2000. And I signed. I tried out. They offered me a contract. I signed right there. And started training at WCPW. And I had, we had found out that my spine was terminal. And so I reached out to the promoter. I was like, hey, look, this is what's going on. And basically he wasn't the nicest about it. He's like, look, you signed a contract. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to honor the contract, but I'm not terminal. That, you know, really hurt. And he pretty much left a bad taste in my mouth about, you know, if anybody in the business was that cold and that not understanding, I'm done, you know. I was done before I started, you know. And a little bit later on, a mutual friend of mine and one of the co-owners of CCW, they introduced me to him, and it took about 6 months for him to convince me not everybody's like that in the business. You know, come back,
right.
CCW, and that's pretty much how things started taking off for me. And I've been wrestling ever since. Pretty much.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, you know, it's funny to say that about what happened to you there, because I know a buddy of mine in the business that he was getting a tryout, right? And one of these indie promoters he'd worked for in the past actually called up the people he was trying out for. Said, he can't work for you because he's on the contract with me. Oh man, it was so messed up, but you know what I mean. But yeah, I'm glad, you know, things worked out. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm a big believer that everything happens for a reason, and I don't think I would have done as much if I would have started right then and there. You know, you got to get along with people. And
right.
I really think when I got with CCW, I got some really good people. Turn it around yourself.
Right.
So,
Joe, who are some of your favorite people you've been in the ring with thus far?
The list is long. I mean, there's so many people. You know, Leaf and Lanny Poffo. I really enjoyed being in the ring with him. Match against him. Chavo Guerrero. Tagged Rick Bravo.
Yeah, Chavo's great.
Rick Reynolds. Oh, Chavo's awesome. I mean, he's just
he's
a dude who's just so down to earth, like the wealth of knowledge. You know,
sharing the lot.
I'm sorry.
He sure is. Yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, I had my tryout match in WCW with Chavo Guerrero Jr. Man, I couldn't be any happier. it was great.
Great guy. But sharing the locker room with people, Billy Gunn,
he's cool. Right.
Just DDP, Marty Jannetty. Mm-hmm. You know, it was great being able to dance with them and talk. Rhino.
Oh, Rhino, yeah. What a great guy, yeah.
I don't know if you know this. Rhino's a little bit Italian. And so we would sit there and take each other so hungry because we would talk about our favorite places to eat in the Chicagoland area. And
nice.
Sitting there, it's like, I don't want to go out to my match because my stomach is talking to me right now. I need to go eat.
That's awesome.
Sounds like Terry.
Yeah, that's a heck of a list, man, you mentioned thus far, man. That's a really good list of people. Good group of guys.
To exclude, some of the guys like Rick Reynolds out of Tennessee, Shane Morton, Ricky Morton, my guys, Jimmy Blaze, Eric Freedom, I don't want to say this out loud right now because I'm in a feud with him, but Ruthless Ramon Rodriguez.
Nice.
Matt DeWalt, some of these guys, on the indies, that, they could rival anybody that's on TV today.
I believe it.
I mean, there's so many good workers out there that, I've been in for 21 years, but I'm just humbled being in the ring with them because it, Jeff Lux and Dr. Jeff, that guy, Steve Rydell, these guys, Scott Spade, they're just, I think the best way I know how to describe it is, it's a masochistic ballet, and you're only as good as your dance partner,
That's so true. That's so true, man. That's absolutely, absolutely. Who were some of your inspirations, growing up in the business, man, that inspired you along the way?
Well, I mean, just like everybody else, the Nature Boy. I mean,
one of the greatest. Yeah.
I mean, I would love to have a match, but I would totally turn into fanboy. I'd get what I was doing. I'd be like, hey. I mean, not like my style is anything like it, because it's not. I couldn't.
Right.
I bet I'm Trubisky, I'm not as good as he is on his worst. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Triple H, man, that guy, he's called the game for a reason, right?
Absolutely.
There's so many. There's so many, but, I mean, if I had to pick three, it'd be Nate Boy, it'd be HBK, it'd be Guru.
Wow.
I mean,
Does it get any better than that?
You know, I never was fortunate enough to meet Eddie, but
you would have loved Eddie, man. Such a great guy, man. I miss him every day.
Chavo and I have talked about him a bit.
Right.
I was hesitant to even talk to Chavo about him because, let's face it, it's just something that you don't want to. You don't want to bring up a story.
Right.
So I just kind of let Chavo talk. Man, I wish I would have gotten the opportunity. But, I mean, talk about it for a second. And I know it's the name, but Crispin Watts. The name was incredible. I'm not as stoic as Benoit. I'm more of a cut up. So I think personality, I would be a little bit more like I probably would probably help more with it.
Yeah.
But I mean, like I said, you know, growing up, such a fan. Take just one. If I had to.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Kind of doubled down right
now.
No,
it's quite all right. Yeah. That's some of the best ever you just mentioned. I mean, gosh. I mean, who wouldn't be inspired by those guys? I mean, the best of their time.
Absolutely. When I was really young, I was going back and forth with one of my buddies in the business. Mr. Paul Orndorff. I mean, early on, I wasn't a Hulkamania. I was that. A lot of people were. I wasn't.
Right.
I leaned towards, guys like Paul Orndorff. Ultimate Warrior. I've always been a physique guy. So, go see why I like Paul Orndorff. But the way that those guys could tell a story, I think in the wrestling business today, that's sorely getting left behind.
Right.
You know, one of my people, if I didn't mention, if I had to pick all time favorite, Chris Jericho is another one.
Oh, yeah. Still growing strong.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, you know what? God bless him. And he's one of those guys. He's been at it for 13 years, and he's reinvented himself and succeeded everything. Talk about someone that is not evolving.
Right. God, he still looks great. Amazing.
So, I hope I answered your question in a long, drawn-out, roundabout way. Sometimes I do. I have a tendency.
You're
to
great, yeah.
That's the most I've heard you speak in 20 years.
That's awesome.
Ask me about the love,
Oh, so, I know. The first 3 years that I knew you, all I got was, how you doing?
So tell me, I guess that pretty much answers my next question, was how long have you and Chaz been together, working together in the industry?
Oh, God. Joey's finally seen the light. I mean, prior to just recently, prior to him signing with me and getting this match with Greg Anthony down in Mid-South, Joey and I stared across the ring at each other for about 10 years. So he never quite understood where I was coming from. But he always admired my tenacity and the fact that I would do anything possible to make sure that my clients won and got paid. Because, I mean, you know, after all, we talk about this as being a great sport that we love, and which it is, but ultimately it's a business. And, you know, you're in the business to make money. And the only way you make money in this business is by winning and by collecting titles. And that's exactly what we're going down to Tennessee to do. We're not going down there because I have any particular love of Ripley, Tennessee. Are you kidding me? Ripley and Dyersburg? You know what the best parts about those two towns are? We're staying in Memphis. Jeez. You talk about some backward places. But,
oh,
you know,
wow.
We'll give the fans down there a thrill. We'll take Greg's title. We'll make him cry a little bit. And at the end of the day, we'll come home a little bit richer and a little bit heavier in our wallets.
So is there a little backstory with you and Greg Anthony, Joey?
I've never met the
Actually,
guy.
There's not. Actually, there's
no,
not.
No, this is a straight-up title match.
Yep. Greg, well, here's what happened. Greg put up an open challenge for his unified title, and I contacted him, as any good manager would do, any good manager agent would do, and I said, look, are you serious about putting up your unified title? And people, you know, we got back to the powers that be over at Mid-South, and they're like, hey, yeah, but we're going to defend against another champion. I said, good. Then you can defend against the Italian-American Heritage champion. And we had no problem coming down to Tennessee to challenge you. So we're going to walk into this man's backyard. They've never met each other. They don't have any history together. Straight up old school 1970s, 1980s title match. And, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, we're coming for the man's title. You know, we know Greg Anthony is beloved down in Tennessee. Who cares? We know Greg Anthony's been through a ton in his career. Who cares? We know he's a former NWA three-time national champion. Who cares? He's got something that we want, and we're going to take it, whether we got to do it the right way, whether we got to do it the wrong way, whether we got to cheat, whatever, that title's coming home.
Yeah, imagine that.
Now, when you're that's a matter of perspective. You know, me being a White Sox fan back in the 80s, I don't know if you remember, you kind of coined the phrase, win ugly. Winning doesn't always have to be pretty.
Yeah, right.
But winning is winning.
That's it.
So, I can stand.
But you guys got to remember, if I'm anything, I do cast that bella figura. That's my nature. I mean, I can't walk around in a suit that's less than 2,500. I just don't feel right. You know, I can't walk around not dressed to the nines, not looking as good as I can possibly look, because it wouldn't be me. And, you know, if that offends people, good. I'm glad you're offended, because I don't care. You don't affect me. I've got my money. I've got my contacts. I've got my businesses. So stay offended.
To quote the legend himself, which is his birthday, by the way, Jesse the Body Ventura, win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat.
You know, I love it. And to quote the famous Bill Laimbeer, it's not cheating if you don't get caught.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, goodness gracious.
Well, you know, speaking of birthday, Stro, I just wanted to give a shout out to my better half, my lovely wife, who is also celebrating her 46th birthday today.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's happy birthday to Amy. It's Amy Day today.
Happy birthday, Amy.
Now she's shaking her head, plotting my demise.
That's awesome.
Amy,
I mean,
happy birthday.
Yes, that's the quickest way to get smacked in the head with a frying pan. Why'd you mention her age?
Bro, I already hid the frying pans. What are you, joking? It's all good. I'm way across the other side of the penthouse. It's all good.
The ladies get a little upset when you mention the age because, you know what? We as men, we get distinguished. They just get older.
Wow. You're going to get me killed before we even go to Tennessee. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Oh, man. The road to Tennessee looks rougher by the minute, right?
Damn right. The road to the garage looks rougher by the minute.
Oh, my goodness. Well, before we get to the callers and mingle with everyone, like for fans that want to keep in touch with you, Joey, and of course Chaz, where can they find you on social media?
As far as me, you can go to Facebook. It's Joey Cheechee. All one word, Joey Cheechee, C-E-C-E.
Okay.
And then on Instagram, it's Joey the Pitbull Cheechee. All one word. That's really the only places you can get me. Chaz, how about you?
Oh, for me, it's Facebook at Chaz Moretti. It's Instagram at Real Chaz M number one. And on Twitter the same way, Real Chaz M one.
All right. All right, fans. There you have it. To keep in touch with the Pitbull, Joey CC, and the great Chaz Moretti. Keep in touch and see what they're up to. And with that, guys, I'm getting ready to unleash the Kraken. So here comes the caller. So you guys ready for the caller?
Here we go.
I believe, well, the first one, I believe this is a familiar voice here. Calling
in. Yes, so we're going to go to Ripley or Dyersburg. Amy Jo, I know what you're talking about, huh? I got it under control,
God.
Amy. Got it under control.
There goes the neighborhood.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, huh? Hey, you guys.
Yep. There goes the neighborhood. Velvet's here.
It's the amazing Velvet,
that's right.
Everyone. Welcome back,
that's
brother.
Right.
How you doing, man?
I am doing well.
We were just talking about the Pro Wrestling Interviews show you guys had.
Yeah,
it was
a good show.
Oh, yeah, it was good times. Mm-hmm.
Good show. And he got his word out there, so, you know, we're getting more and more followers because we're on the, you know, AM and FM, and we're getting ready to hit another one. So we're getting there.
That's great.
Attaboy.
So,
that's
yeah,
great.
It was a good interview. He did a good job. He did a good job here. You know, this is nobody can compete with you. You're the maestro. You're the stro, baby.
Stop it.
I got some smoke blowing to do if you make it. I got to blow that smoke, baby.
it's always a pleasure, man, really. I mean,
you're the real deal, bro. You're the real deal. You have a fun time.
By the way, Velvet, congratulations,
yeah,
man, for inducted into the Hall of Fame for
much.
UPWA.
That's
really cool.
And you know what? It was really good. It was fun. Tank was dressed to the nines. He looked great.
Nice.
I was as well, but I mean, Tank stole the show with that. But all in all, it was a good thing. So this is not about me, but I appreciate you acknowledging that. So yeah, this is about the Pitbull Joey.
Nah, congratulations,
baby.
Brother.
Oh yeah, thanks, man. Thanks. Absolutely. It was for me. It was well deserved and a hard thing to do and to get. So yeah. I mean, I started with UPWA when it first started, when it first opened its doors. And, so,
That's awesome.
I would have been, as long as Tank, 15 years there, I left at about probably 10 or 11.
Wow.
You know, he sporadically went back, He didn't count all the years. It's probably about 20, to be honest. Well, 16. 16 years has been around. I don't know. I think Donnie was running before count, that yeah. Echelote. You know?
Right.
I don't know. It's hard to keep up with all of that stuff. Thanks. All right,
that's
cool.
That's awesome, man. That's really
yeah,
cool. Joey, you and Chaz, I have someone that would love to talk to you more. I mean, he's like a student of the game, if you will. Professor Steve, let's bring him on. Steve, welcome.
Come on,
bring
him on.
Glad to be on. Listening to the interview earlier. Touched on it earlier, hearing some of his bonus. That's pretty cool hearing about Lanny.
That's better, Steve. I can hardly hear you, bro.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's much better now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was glad to hear him talking earlier about Lenny Poffo and Tower Guerrero. It's pretty cool hearing some of his best opponents. So, who
was
the most difficult opponent since we had the best opponents?
You
don't have to name
names. Yes.
I'm sorry?
Oh, this should be good.
Joey, who was your most difficult opponent other than me?
Yeah.
Because I was a pain in the rear end. I'd kick you in the gut every chance I got.
And that, not talk you. Not even give you a chance to speak.
Probably opponent would definitely have been Rick Reynolds.
Mm.
Rick Reynolds from out of Tennessee. I mean, he's what, 6'8"?
6'8", I think. Yep.
Yeah. Mm. Monster. Over 300. I mean, let's face it. Anybody that large is going to give you a hard time. A lot of people, they don't have, you know, you walk around and you know what you're getting for. You don't, a lot of people, it's sheer weight of their arms, their legs when they're that big. So, yeah, I may be able to, you know, press X amount of weight, squat X amount of weight. I took that big tip. You know, I get myself to a point where I use it functional. But someone that big, they're using it functionally every day, every second. And plus, the man has been in he was in the business for 30-plus years, you know. Anything I thought about doing, he's done.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the old Thunderlip scene from Rocky, where Rocky's talking to Mick. It's like, who's carrying him? And Mick says he's walking.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, Rick's ring name was known as Forsaken, and that was no joke.
Hey, if I may, can you... I don't know if you did earlier. Can you talk more about Jimmy Blaze? I heard, I read that you were trained by him and also tagging him with him several times.
You want me to talk more about Jimmy Blaze?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, that guy.
I'm not too familiar, but I see that he was an influence on you, plus you tagged him with him.
31 years in the business as of last weekend, 2 weekends ago? 31 years in the business. He's been around. He's wrestled a lot of people that, I mean, he actually was when, correct me if I'm wrong, Chad, at CCA or CAC, Demolition asked him to induct them into, the CAC Hall of Fame.
Yes, so, they did.
This is a guy who's been around. He runs POW Entertainment, POWW, POW Entertainment. It's the longest running promotion in Illinois. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Even through the pandemic, still ran. He found a way to, we had to run up in Wisconsin. But he still, it was one of those things. People were locked, they were on lockdown. But yet, you want to give people something to look forward to. And he was of the mind, I'll be damned if I'm going to stop running and just add to the whole lockdown and people not being able to do anything. So, I give him kudos for that. And also, we traveled up and down the road together, we were brothers. In the way that you would think of acting could be. And that's why we were able to capture him as much as we did, because we knew what the other one was thinking. We knew how some people can finish each other's sentences? We did that, but we did that in the ring. So Terry Allen, same thing. We were able to pick up where Jimmy and I left off and captured both several times because, we complement each other. His strengths were my weaknesses, my weaknesses were his. You know what I mean? So it was kind of like beginning again.
Yeah.
So.
And Jimmy also was is still a very accomplished trainer in bringing in other people into the business. And, in November of 2010, he was smart enough to see a true talent in the Raw, and he brought me into the business. And so if anybody wants to complain about why Chaz Moretti is causing all this trouble, you blame Jimmy Blaze.
I'm sure he's going to appreciate that.
Yeah, right.
another question for anybody else take over. Can you kind of explain if there's any difference between POW Entertainment and Classic Championship Wrestling? I saw that there was a change in 2007, but I was wondering if you could maybe go into some detail about that, about the transition between promotions.
What was that? Yeah, it was really hard to hear.
Sorry. The promotions, POW Entertainment and Classic Championship Wrestling, I tell you that they have the same lineage. Can you explain that the promotion change?
Well, CCW, Classic Championship Wrestling, started and it had been going really strong for several years, and it had gotten to the point where, I don't know all the ins and outs. Well, actually, I do, but basically, one of the owners, the other owner, wanted to step away, and he sold Jimmy his half of CPW, and in doing that, Jimmy figured, CPW had its day, and that was his and his partner's deal, and he was going to leave that legacy there, and he wanted to start anew. He just wanted to start fresh with POW Entertainment. So that's pretty much how POW came about. A lot of the guys that were with CCW stayed with POW. And a lot of people have come through and were trained like Rock Crossing. He's been all over the place. He's you know, from training at ECW, that thing, Noah, Cairo, Milwaukee, Cairo, you know, Next Generation Patriot, who eventually became the bad boy, Justin Zane. DQ, well, he came to Cal, Ruthless, Ramon Rodriguez, you know, yeah, Zach Devonshire, I mean, James Dundee, worked with us quite a bit, formerly from, PG-13 with,
had some great matches with those guys, man. They're pretty awesome.
Jamie's an awesome guy.
Oh, Jamie's awesome. He's hilarious. And, you know, anybody who knows Jamie knows that voice. You don't even have to see him in the room.
Yes.
That
yes.
voice. Hey. Let go. Come here.
Yeah.
I used to freak my wife out. She was pregnant, you know, of course she'd pass out. I'd come home from wrestling and just to be kind of I would imitate Jamie's voice right in her ear. Talk about you never saw a pregnant woman up so quick with the fear of God in her. Hey, Jim. So I love Jamie. I love Jamie. I haven't seen him in a while, but I mean,
right.
But yes, those guys, Jamie and Wolfie D, jeez, those guys, I think were underrated. I mean, they sit there and they joke around. They're voted the worst tag team ever in WWE. But you know what? They're highly underrated.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by far.
I mean, a lot of people
there's nobody that could have been worse than the Ding Dongs. Come on. Jeez.
But it's
oh,
all
man.
A matter of
but,
who.
It's ICP was like dedicated to worst tag team, and they like I look at badge and honor. Hey, thanks.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Tag team, okay. But guess what? We were at the dance. We were at the
right?
dance.
That's
you
it.
Know?
Right.
So, I think there's a lot of hating on different, you know, people just like to hate for whatever
yes,
reason.
You're telling
do.
Me.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
you're
do.
Telling me. Let me think back to a year ago in the cancel Chaz movement. Yeah, right. That's really going to happen. See you later.
Well, you know, if you were managing the Thunderfoots, you might have been, you know.
Thunderfoot. There's someone
that's
that you
right.
came through.
Oh, man. Love it.
Gene Ligon, baby.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And Joel Deaton.
Yeah. I had the pleasure of sitting with Joel at the last CAC reunion at the banquet dinner. And Joel, the stories he was telling are just amazing. This was before he got sick.
Yeah, that's
as much as I love in the ring, being in the ring, a lot of people don't understand. It's the stuff that happens outside the ring, on the road, you know, behind
oh, yeah.
the curtain.
Right.
And, I mean, growing up, always being an athlete, being part of a team, and this, you know, being in the military, which is a team, you know, a family, a brotherhood. I like a lot of people, they don't get it when I refer to the locker room as the land of the misfit toys, you know,
yeah.
because it's none of us actually ever really fit in anywhere, but we fit in there, you know.
Exactly.
You run
exactly.
away.
Absolutely.
The circus. But like I said, you know, on the other podcast, you know, I've met some of the greatest people that I know. The business. I've met a lot of creeps, but I've also met some of the greatest people I know. You know, my wedding party was basically a bunch of and that was a life season because, you know, when she and I got together, she was always a fan of wrestling, but, you know, she was never around it. She only, you know, watched it on TV or whatnot. But then when she got and, you know, let's face it, we're all a bunch of, you know, teenage boys in grown-up bodies. You know, we're just a bunch of
guys. We never grew up. I'm still a kid.
I refuse to grow up. Growing up is boring.
Yeah, exactly. And it sucks.
Even when you had it right.
That sucks.
Sucks.
This whole adulting thing, it's for the
Yes,
birds.
Thank you. Thank you. It is. You ain't lying. Jeez, Manetti. I just want to go back to the front row yelling at Regal and him coming over trying to slap me. I want that.
You know, I would give anything to go back. I was thinking about that earlier today. I would give anything to be able to go back to, like, my 4-year-old, 13-year-old self and just see that fan again. And just watch the great. You know, I would end up yelling at them. Let's see. We all
thought that. Oh, yeah.
But,
you guys have seen the Men in Black, right? You saw the Men in Black movies. You saw the third one where they went back and saw the 69 Mets playing at an empty Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
What I wouldn't give to go back to September 28th, 1985 at Old Comiskey Park and watch Super Clash 1 all over again. I was seventh row ringside for that show, and I would love to go back and see that show again.
That was one of the best. Oh, my God.
I mean, it was 62 degrees. It dropped down into the 50s, and we were out there for 4 hours, and the show started at 8 o'clock. It was awesome.
Oh, that a lot of promoters don't use their heads. What are you doing an outdoor show that time of the year in Chicago?
And they drew 25,000.
Right. Exactly. 25,000.
Yeah.
It snowed. At that time of the year. You know what?
You want to laugh. The main event was Ric Flair and Magnum TA, and they went 52 minutes to a finish.
Yeah.
52 minutes to a small package.
And see, that's what I'm talking about. They knew how to tell a story because you were engaged from beginning to end.
Yep.
You know, nowadays you're not gonna be able to see something like that.
No. Are you kidding me? Those kids will kill each other for 52 minutes.
If you watch Wednesday night, every match had the same spot in it almost at the same exact time at each match. So
yeah.
I was like, okay, this is ridiculous.
It's the video game spot.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck?
It's the video game spot.
But
I'll tell you who would have been able to hang back in the day, though, Velvet. One kid would have been able to hang back in the day, and that's Friedman. Friedman has got it upstairs, downstairs.
And downstairs.
He knows what he's doing. That kid
would
have been big in the 80s.
Yes, he would.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yes, he would.
You know what?
I have to tell you,
Friedman's working with him. I seriously think that, because he's not your typical worker nowadays. You know what I mean?
No, yeah. He's a throwback.
Oh,
yeah.
Most definitely.
I mean, he's almost Piper-esque if you listen to him.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I mean, and like him, you know, in here, like him or not, agree with Jimmy Cornette or not, you got to give Kenny Omega his due. Kenny Omega has been dealt a pretty crappy deck of cards in his career, and he's made the most out of it.
And he's still got a bad deal right now. He's got a bad hand right now.
I've never seen Kenny have one bad match. But I don't get why
Anybody that could put over a blow up doll is all right with me. You want to talk about having a good match with a broom handle? That was it.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, Velvet, you were talking about Riggle earlier. I saw the vignette again of when he was trying to refine Bobby Eaton into the blue,
blood.
Oh my
so
God!
Good.
If you guys haven't seen, it's classic.
I have a picture of that here locally. Him tagging with Bobby as the Blue Bloods. I came across that picture, and I came across the Dave Sullivan DDP match as well.
Dave Sullivan.
I got a picture of that.
Old Evad.
Evad, yeah.
Yeah.
He had the Hogan boots on and everything, baby. He was happy.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I happened to come. We had sent some pictures off to get put on flash drive. I forgot about them. They came back, and I'm looking at the pictures going, oh, I remember that.
You mentioned
Evad. I had a thought about that when I was looking into the Dungeons and Doom and hearing about the Evad stuff I wasn't familiar with. It seems like WWE's Eugene was kind of similar in that it was like a super fan character with a mental disability, a huge Hulk Hogan. Fan.
You can't say
kind
that
of
today,
sir.
Atta boy, Steve, you're going to get us all a social media ban for about 30 days. That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
He's specially challenged.
I'm a fan of Nick Densmore. I think he's underrated, yep. But it's just interesting how Eugene and Evad were kind of similar, I thought.
That should be the next heel faction, the Social Justice Society.
Oh my God. I mean, I know we haven't seen Stevie Richards in a while, but say it ain't so.
That'd be like the evolution of righteousness.
You're so funny.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, we just call him the DNC.
Ah, stop it.
The leader could be Karen. Karen could be the leader of the SJW.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Wow. Boy, we've gone off the trail, haven't we?
We've got on that.
Karen Jarrett at one point.
Yeah. Can you imagine the merch?
We can get Karen.
The merch for that?
Former Karen Angle.
I want a Karen shirt. SJW Warriors.
Right.
Karen shirt, yeah. that'd be amazing.
Oh, dude, I had that happen today. I was running an errand, and I was pulling up into an elevated parking area, and there was some Karen out there walking quickly, and so I made my turn to go up the ramp, and she kept walking even faster, and then I hear this wild screech. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So what did I do? I rolled down the window. Yes, I'm kidding you. You're an idiot. Bye.
They could have a tag team in the click, right, called the Snowflakes. That'd be tremendous.
Oh, I love it.
God,
I love it.
I
they get in the ring and they refuse to wrestle because they're offended. I love it.
Yes.
Now, that's heat.
Oh,
now, that's heel heat there, boy. They'll get in the ring and go, I'm not wrestling. I'm offended. I love it.
Oh, man. They have to make that happen.
You know what? Somebody's going to steal that from this show. Watch, and we'll see it.
Yeah. Yeah. You watch. It'll be on TV somewhere next week somewhere.
That's as bad as Molly Holly. That's as bad as Molly Holly moving to Charleston, went to a local show, and saw a move, and the next day she did that on Monday Night Raw the next night. I was like, ain't that some crap?
No joke, dude.
And the guy
no
calls
joke.
Me and goes, did you see Molly Holly do my move? I went, yep. She knew how to hit that finish.
Ain't your move no more,
right?
Brother.
No, I said, at least she knows how to hit the finish. She got mad.
Yeah, but now it's ain't your move no more, bro.
Exactly.
She put it on TV. It's hers now.
You know what,
my
Molly
God.
Holly? So underrated. She was, like, one of my favorites.
Oh, so good,
oh,
man.
Absolutely. Very underrated. Very underrated. But you know what?
Good.
She enjoyed wrestling, but she was more about her faith than pro wrestling. Because
yeah.
that showed
yeah.
that she lived here. So, and then when she moved back to Minnesota, you know, she kind of disappeared. You know, she kind of, she did, she showed up here and there, you know, after her contract ran out, but, you know, that last one. But she's such a great human being, period.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
She's
yeah.
just
so,
like Mickey Williams. Vicki Williams was
yeah.
the same way. Her, you know, she
yeah.
decided to choose between her faith and choose between wrestling, and she chose wisely. You know, you don't
exactly.
see Vicki Williams anymore. But
well, you know
back
what?
In the day, she was one of the best.
Oh yeah.
You talk about character. You know, it, a lot of people. Well, you got to question their character when they talk about their convictions and whatnot. But you know, it should see someone standing up for their convictions. And you got to do what's important to you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But you want to talk about character?
Oh, yeah.
Was kind of funny. Joey remembers this. I used to own a car dealership back in the early 2000s to mid 2000s,
oh,
and so
man.
I showed up
I
at the.
I can imagine Chaz running the car lot. I bet you that was
yeah,
fun.
How you doing? How
no,
you
I
doing?
Owned a Saab dealership.
I got
no, I was actually very nice. To, I had a
okay.
I had a deal with tree huggers. I owned Saabs. So anyway, I drove a convertible up to one of the shows at Fox Lake.
Nice.
And we're in Fox Lake, Illinois. I drive the convertible up to one of the shows and. Sure enough, there's one of the fanboys, one of the smart marks, and he sees the dealer plate on her. He goes, oh, Chaz, I didn't know you worked for a car dealership. I said, work for? I own the dealership, moron. Have a nice day. Idiot. Because I thought it was a gimmick. I don't know. Ain't a gimmick in my wallet.
Right? I love it.
Gimmick in your wallet. That's great.
It is.
They saw the dealer. It was just funny. They saw the dealer plate and they thought they were going to outsmart me. Yeah, not happening. Thanks a lot.
Nope, they surely were not. That,
oh gosh.
But you know, you talk about wrestling between the old days and now. Yeah, I mean, we talk about wrestling between the old days and now, and you know, were there similarities? Yeah, there were similarities. Were there huge differences? Of course there were. But it still doesn't change the fact that we would tune in and week out to see what happens. I mean, you look at it now, and it's disheartening because you've got these armchair quarterbacks or armchair bookers that are criticizing everything they see on television, but they're still walking around with replica title belts. They're still buying T-shirts and merchandise like it's going out of style. They're still watching every pay-per-view that's presented. And it gets to the point where, you know what, you already know that pay-per-view goes off on Sunday. On Monday, they're going to take the social media to try to make themselves look smarter than they actually are. I mean, I don't know. At least for me, I've gotten desensitized to it. It's like, whatever.
And they forget.
Yeah.
They forget they're the ones getting paid. They're not, so.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're going to complain. Vince did this and Vince did that. And what's the old man thinking? The old man don't care. He just got millions off the buys on pay-per-view. Have a nice day.
Yeah, he don't care. Yeah, right. He don't care about you. Exactly.
No.
Because you'll be back next month, like it or not.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, and they talk about the cuts and everything, man, but they're making the most profitable year ever right now. WWE.
Yeah. There's a bunch of happy stockholders, believe me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and one of the things I got to give credit to Pro Wrestling Mid-South for is they are a promotion that honors the tradition of Mid-South and Mid-Southern and Memphis wrestling. I mean, their tickets are $5 a piece for general admission, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They run weekly.
Tremendous.
In Ripley, weekly in Dyersburg. They're going to start running weekly in Memphis itself. You know, and
that's good.
There's where I saw opportunity for Joey. I said, we go in there. This guy doesn't know us. We go in there. We beat him. We take his title. Now you've got all kinds of opportunities to defend in Memphis, to defend all over Tennessee, to bring that title back home and defend it up here. Because we're not afraid of anybody.
You know, but that's how it was back in the old days. You had a guy, you know this from Gorgeous George's days. You'd go into a territory and you'd establish yourself and you'd win that title and you get a shot at the world title. And before you know it, you're in front of 40,000 people in an outdoor arena and you're drawing what, 1.5 million gate in the 1950s? That's unheard of days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 1.5 million a million and a half back then is about $20.5 million gate right now. And that was without pay-per-view. That was without any type of TV. You're lucky at one point that they would do closed circuit, maybe. But otherwise, you show up
before the internet,
you're not there.
Before social media and all that,
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was when our great sport was our great sport. And it lasted, in my opinion, that lasted till about the advent of the internet. I mean, once the internet came about, it was the territories were pretty much dead, only because of the fact that territories relied so much on limited information to keep the intrigue going. And, you know, but that was what it was, you know.
Good times, man.
You know, I got to admit, though, I got to give it to A&W, though. Since they've had live crowds, man, it's brought so much energy. So much energy, man.
I think we're
really good to see.
Yeah, I'm really happy that, you know, there could be crowds again and Tommy Ann could debut with full crowds. Do you think WWE will improve this week, given that they're going to start doing fans shows now, and not Thunderdome shows?
What do you guys think?
I'll let the panel go. Go ahead, guys. Joey, what do you think?
About now, how they're going to do now that they have, now that they're going to have crowds?
Yeah.
Without the Thunderdome venue.
Well, you know, I think we'll pick back up because, you know, one, people have been locked down, you know, cut out so long that they want to go see. They want to go see live wrestling, and they want to go see that pageantry that comes along with WWE, you know. So you're going to have these fans. But do I think that, I mean, it was a smart move for them to do the touch show. If for no other reason, for the wrestlers, for their sake, because there's nothing weirder than, you know, trying to have the same that you would have with people there with no one there, you know what I mean? So I think they're going to do pretty well. I think in the beginning, then it will drop off. I mean, I can do it in some kind of office call, an armchair figure as well, and, you know, say I have a prospect on them. They're writers, they're creative teams, they're, you know, but who am I? You know what I mean? I just hope that they entertain the crowd to tell stories. Like I said earlier, I think that's been lost.
It'll be interesting to see how long it might be. They've had
fans in NXT, but it'll be interesting to see them outside the NXT audience. I think they're in the hot seat. It could go 50-50. They've had the best year so far, not being in crowds. Well, guess what? Yeah, I agree with Joey a little bit. It'll be a peak early. Because of merchandise sales. The merchandise sales will probably pick up tremendously in the first month to 2 months. Then you'll see it probably drop off a little bit. But what I'm getting at is this. They don't need to worry about what AEW's doing. They need to worry about their own product. go out and do what they're supposed to do in front of a live crowd, you're going to lose some folks and you're going to gain some folks. Because once you hit the road, a lot of people have been spoiled staying home and being in, you know, in Florida, and now they got to go out on the road again. You never know. So it could be a 50-50 thing with them. So, you know, they need to up their their match schemes and their build up to certain matches, because sometimes they just throw people together and you go, where was the build up? There was no build up.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely, I agree wholeheartedly with that.
So they need to up their game a little bit. And because when you're on the road, the pressure's on. You know?
Right.
Pressure's on. Because now you're not sitting at home, you're moving around. And they'll be going back to working 5 nights a week. So, we'll see.
You know, one thing that bothers me a little bit about the way our business has evolved is that we're all, whether fan, worker, manager, promoter, whatever, we're all talking about what goes on in our sport now in terms of overall production value, in terms of how it's staged, build up, X and such. I think we've done ourselves a great disservice in exposing the veil and breaking the fourth wall, because deep down, I mean, it's still a combat sport for titles and championships. And if it's not about that, what is it about? I mean, is it about who can put on the best-looking Ringling Brothers Circus? I mean, to me, that's the sad part. You know, people, well, Chaz, you got to evolve with the business, or you're going to be left behind. Great, leave me behind. Because I liked it better when I didn't know who the champion was going to be, or the champion wasn't determined by, the majority of the fans think this guy should be champion. No, they won it and lost in the ring. And, I mean, I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to reverse the fourth wall. This match that Joey has with Greg Anthony is a straight-up wrestling match. There will be no predetermined winner, no angle, no storyline. You're going to have two guys step into the ring, and they're going to lock it up. One guy is going to walk out with two belts. The other guy's not. You know, who that's going to be, and it's... That's going to be determined in the ring where it should be. You know, am I going to be there and do what I can? Yeah, I'm going to do what I can. Damn right I am. I got money invested in this. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe the old codger in me. I get a little sick of hearing about productions, you know.
That's all WWE is, a production.
Is there one championship on the line here? Is both belts on the line or just one?
For this upcoming title match, is it just one?
I mean, that's my take on it all. I mean,
Jess, is there one championship on the line or both championships up on the line?
There's both championships on the line. We got the match by putting up the Italian American Heritage title. No, it's title versus
both
title.
Championships, title versus title. Okay.
You know, I had to put up our title to get a shot at his title.
All right. So one's going to walk out with both championships.
That's correct.
All right.
That's correct. And, you know, being a betting man, if the powers that be over at Mid-South or if Greg wants to put a little money on this, I'd be more than happy to cover his action.
There you go.
All right.
No,
that's red hot.
Again, I'm not trying to down what's going on right now. It's not to say that that things weren't, you know, things back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, you know, there wasn't that level of predeterminism that exists now. Of course there was. People just didn't know about it.
You know, they kind of knew, but they didn't know. And that was the draw. Now I feel like they're going there for the lights and the production and the pyro and the wrestling's left to last. And I don't like that.
I don't either, but WWE's all about production.
Oh, absolutely.
It's all about right tiny package.
Yep.
Yep. No, I get it.
I mean...
Can I interject?
Sure, why not?
Okay. I got to tell you what, Steve. Go for it.
I got an unrelated
go
question.
For it, man.
But Stroh or anybody on this panel, did you ever work with any of the Graham family? Billy Graham, Dr. Jerry, Eddie?
I did with Mike. Mike Graham.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because well, Mike Graham, Steve Curran were kind of like one of my early inspirations when they were teaming down in Florida. They were a hell of a team. They were a former Florida tag team champions down that way, NWA Florida champions.
Oh, that's right. I'm going to look them up. But I was just wondering, because I've been watching interviews, it feels like Dr. Jerry doesn't get enough attention, even though he does have a legacy. It's like, I'm wondering if it's because Billy Graham became such a huge star, and then of course he had Eddie Graham down south.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, little known fact about Dr. Jerry Graham and his purple Cadillac is that his side passenger and hanger on and disciple, if you will, was a very young Vincent Kennedy McMahon. So I think Dr. Jerry Graham gets a lot of credit for teaching Vince Jr. the business. You know, Vince Sr. Mm-hmm. was out negotiating and making sure buildings were running. And, you know, where's Vinny hanging out? Well, he's hanging out with Dr. Jerry Graham.
Yeah, I heard that Jerry was the big influence on that. So just, like, I'm sure he's in the Hall of Fame, but it's interesting that you don't hear a lot about him other than, you know, just interviews. And,
yeah.
It is interesting, persona, performer. I didn't realize how big the Graham family was. Like, you hear about all these wrestling families, and then I forget there's all these Grahams.
Well, Stroh could talk about this more than I can, but look at what Eddie Graham accomplished down in Florida. I mean, Super Bowl of wrestling, title versus title matches, superstar Billy Graham and Harley Race, Ric Flair and Rick Martel. I mean, those were all Eddie Graham productions. I mean, the guy was a genius.
The talent pool he had back then was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. He had the best of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he gave his talent the go-ahead and the green light to be as creative as they wanted to be. As we talked about last week, without Eddie Graham, you don't get a Dungeon of Doom. You don't get a Kevin Sullivan. Because
nope.
Where did they begin all that? They began all that down in Florida.
Yeah,
the whole Wyndham family. Black Cat,
yeah,
Kendall,
yeah.
Barry.
Yeah. I mean, that's where Dusty Rhodes turned babyface, was in Florida.
Changing the subject again. Did you talk about Paul Orndorff earlier? And do you have any memories of Paul Orndorff working with him?
Yeah, actually, I did a 10-bell salute to him earlier in the show. Paul was great, man. Well, I'll give one funny story, actually, that Paul was involved in. I was flying up to Atlanta to get ready, go to Power Plant to get right for my debut as the maestro for WCW right now. And I'm flying in the plane, right? And Big Reese, Giant Reese, right, was sitting next to me, right? And he's squishing me, like, I'm next to the window, right? And he's squishing me against the seat and laughing the whole time, and I'm like, oh, God, man, just you wait, right? I'm he's laughing, you know? So we get to Atlanta, the power plant, and we're working out, and we're doing a drill we call kicking drills, where we, you know, so we can practice our kicks and help our cardio, right? So it's the kicking drills are a deal where a guy gets on bottom, the other guy gets on top, and the guy says go, the other guy starts to kick and the guy around the ring, right? So it was my turn to kick Big Reese when he was down, right? So they said go, and I just kept kicking Reese. I wouldn't stop kicking him, right? I wouldn't let him up. I blew him up.
Did you get
like
in the
gas. And all I could think of was a damn plane ride, him squishing my ass against the window seat, right?
I would have got him in the stones for that.
Oh, yeah. And he was, like, laid out, man. I couldn't. They had to pull me off of him, seriously. And Paul.
Well, I would have got him in the stones.
Paul,
I'd have made sure that groin felt it.
Yep. Mr. Wonderful, Paul Andres, he was corpsing so bad, he took me to his office, right? and he was trying not to laugh. He was trying to corpsing so bad. And he just showed us not too long ago a match with him and Hogan where he was pretty much doing the same thing to Hogan and blowing up Hogan right and left, just stomping the mud hole in Hogan, right? And he's looking at me, right? He said, you know what, you used to think I was crazy, but you're a maniac. He started laughing.
That's funny.
I didn't mean to be a jerk, but all I can think of was that damn plane run him squishing the hell out of me all the way up here.
Yeah, God, when Orndorff challenged Hogan in that program that they ran after Orndorff turned on Hogan, we were in Rosemont. We were sitting along the aisle, and I guess that Orndorff and Hogan had wrestled earlier in the day. I don't know where it was. But they wrestled in the afternoon, and they flew into Chicago for a cage match as the main event. And Heenan was managing Orndorff, and Hogan came out on top, and Heenan and Orndorff both had color. And, you know, being fans and being stupid to what the inner workings of the business are, we hear Orndorff tell Heenan as they're walking down the aisle, he goes, I don't care what they say, I'm getting paid for two shows tonight. And that's just, we sat there going, what? You only had this match. You know, this is one match. And we didn't, because you didn't have the internet back then. You didn't know that he worked
right
in an afternoon show at some other place in the country, flew in his gear to work Chicago at 9 o'clock at night, and then was worried about whether or not they were going to get paid for both shows.
Wow.
You know, God love him. Testament to his cardio, yeah. Because he worked him and Hogan both.
Oh,
I mean, they worked together.
Yeah,
they worked together in the afternoon and went and did what 35 minutes in the cage that night.
Mm-hmm.
With a two-hour break in between. God bless.
You know, a match that series of matches he had that don't get enough credit. That I used to watch back when I was with him in Smoky Mountain Wrestling was the matches that he had Ronnie Garvin. They were so good, man. Solid and believable.
Yeah.
Believable. And, I mean, just two pros going at it, man. Orndorff and Garvin, man. It was a pleasure to watch, man, really.
I mean, here, no disrespect to Roddy Piper, but when, as a fan back in the mid-80s, I never expected Piper to beat Hogan for the title. But you were always a little worried that Orndorff might.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just the difference in the two guys.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Great, great, great. One of the all-time greats, man.
Yeah, I had heard that the Hogan feud with Paul was a big business at the time. It was like their biggest... House show rivalry.
Yeah. Yeah,
good
definitely.
Stuff.
Definitely. It's hard to believe that Hogan's first six WrestleMania opponents are all deceased now.
Oh, that's unreal,
man.
They
are gone.
I like the only few left living now are the, like, Barbarian and Haku.
Yeah, Terry Taylor and the Brooklyn Brawler. I think they're the only ones
left.
You know, but they were a later incarnation. The original Heenan family
from 83 to 85 in WWF, but they're all gone.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they are.
You guys got any plugs that you guys like to give shout-outs or whatever? I mean, now's the time, man. Floor is yours. Do your thing.
I'll go. Pro Wrestling Interviews is interviewing Thomas Simpson this Sunday night. He's the co-owner of Omega Championship Wrestling, or Omega Wrestling, that he created with the Hardy Boys.
Thomas Simpson. Oh, wow.
So we're going to have Thomas on. Controversial, but hey, right. We're going to have him on. I don't care. Everybody's like, I shouldn't have him. I said, why? Let the man speak. You don't got to listen to it. I pulled one of Chaz's.
Oh,
line.
That's different.
Yeah, I don't care,
man.
Either come on or don't come on.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Chaz is rubbing off on me. I don't give a damn. Go ahead. So 9 o'clock Sunday night, we have Thomas Simpson, and I'm sure we're going to talk about the Hardys and Sugar Shane Helms. Oh, I'm sorry. The Hurricane. I know we're going to mention him because he was a part of that mess too. So, yeah,
the whole Omega,
it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to be interesting, to say the least. So, yeah, 9 o'clock Sunday night. That's what I got.
Awesome.
Joey, go ahead.
Basically, the only thing I have to plug is our matches coming up in Tennessee next week. Ripley, Tennessee, Dyersburg, Tennessee. I'm going to be walking out with two titles.
Yes.
And
it's going to be awesome.
And then I wrestle back up here in Illinois on the 7th of August against Ramon, and the Bad Hombre Cartel.
Cool.
Bad Hombre Cartel. That's Ruthless, Ramon Rodriguez, Xavier DePaul, and Lee Nova. They're going to come to my side.
Yeah, and if you stack them all up one on top of the other, they reach 6'1".
Love it. There you go, buddy.
Oh, man.
Nice.
They were so popular. I was back when I was activated in Washington, D.C., about how I was ducking them. And, you know what? I'm back now. I'm back
now. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was doing something more than beating the crap out of you, Jagalones.
Love it.
Awesome.
There you go, kid. That's
keep
right.
My eye on the prize.
Always.
It's coming up.
Always.
My plugs and shout-outs are real simple. I do want to wish a very happy birthday again to my wife, Amy. And she puts up with my nonsense.
Yay.
I have already done it. Stop that. I also want to give a plug out to this great podcast, WCW Retro with the Stro. This is definitely a must listen and must call in show, as is Pro Wrestling Interviews.
Thank you.
You know, I want to give Steve props. Hey, Steve, how's judo class? Was it what you thought it was going to be, or was it a little more difficult? And you can answer that probably on a later show if you don't want to answer it now. But those are my shouts and plugs for this week. Just, go do what you do, be good to each other, and don't get in my way because I don't care what you think.
See, there it is.
One more thing.
I want to
thank you for having me out. I want to thank you for the opportunity to come on to the show and talk about some stuff. So thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate
man.
It.
Yes.
Oh, our pleasure, man. Absolutely. All the best to you. And please come back anytime you want, man.
Yes.
Pleasure having you on. Thank you so much. Professor Steve, got any plugs, brother?
You can reach me at Slower Steven online. Glad I could talk wrestling. And Taz, I've been doing a jiu-jitsu, but I hope they can do judo at some point. I knew Karrion Kross was judo, and so did Ronda Rousey. But Sinister's a really experienced in jiu-jitsu. He's a brown belt, so he kind of gave me the itch. But yeah, thanks for having me on and talking wrestling and getting the chat with Joey
Chi-Chi
again was a pleasure as well.
Awesome.
Thank you.
That's
guys.
Awesome.
You guys so make the show. Come back anytime. I mean, you guys are awesome. And listeners listening, please catch the archives if you haven't already of tonight's show. Go to vocnation.com and look for WCW Retro in today's date, 7/15/2021. Next week, we're going to be discussing the Monday Night Wars between WWE and WCW. So that would be a pretty hot topic to dive into next week. So I'm looking forward to that. But with that, thank you guys. Have an awesome week and weekend. And we'll close it out with some Bad Street USA. See you guys next Thursday. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Okay.